Spoštovani diski, cenjene ploščice, Luka in Jaka, hladna kot bremze svetovnega prvaka.
Hello and welcome in the first English version of Brass Brains podcast.
Yeah, we decided to do an English episode in which we will do a short recap from extended interviews with some of the bestest guys from the race.
Because of all the safety measures and everything, we did all the interviews on Zoom. So let's hear what they have to say about their race weekend.
The first Zoom meeting we did was with the organizer of the race, Tomislav Marić, who told us how many problems he had during this year's organization and how difficult it actually was. Let's hear what he had to say after the race.
Hello, Tomo. So how are you? Are you tired?
Pretty much tired. Physically, I'm okay, but my mind is still processing so many informations. But in a few days, it will be okay. I will be back to normal.
Great, great.
So if I got it right, this was 8th extreme enduro race in Lika. How was it through your eyes?
Well, it was the far the most hardest event I ever organized. The COVID did not help it, and it was really hard to get permissions and everything. And when we get all sorted up and we finished the all marking and everything, and we was thinking, okay, now we are ready. And then the snowfall. Yeah. So it was a two deep snows in 2 weeks. And the last one was Tuesday. We was up already in the mountain, just checking, is everything okay? And it was like 30 centimeters of snow in the paddock, and the mountain was even deeper. And we wait for Wednesday morning and decide that we will go to try to cut the track through the snow with the bikes with five guys, and we somehow managed it. But snow was melting really fast. Every day was like half of the snow going down, and we was know that it will be probably for the Sunday almost okay, but some area in the mountain for the gold class was impossible. But yeah, we managed to do it. we do the best that was possible in this condition.
Yeah, when I was driving to the track, like, I don't know, 5 kilometers before the track, like, there was a lot of snow, like really half of a meter on the top of the mountain. And I was like, shit, what am I doing here?
Yeah, on that top is like 900 meters when you're crossing the with the car, and always wind blow and then makes a deeper snow. But so on some places, we was really, really scared how we will cut track. We have options B, that will be enormously cut and maybe make two laps and all kind of informations go through our mind. But it was okay, I think, in the end. And lots of checkpoints was really rideable for expert class and stay there. So I think you have a good fun.
Yeah, it was great. In my eyes, it was really good. It was not as long as it was in last few years, but that's because you needed to cut the track. Yeah, so it was good. And how many riders were on this year?
We have a limitation with these COVID rules. So with our government, we found a solution that 250 will be okay for us to somehow pay all the bills, because I didn't want to raise down the level that we put with our race. I want everything, the number of toilets and everything to be the same like years before. So that was the limit. And I said, okay, we will do it for 250 riders. I must say, I was a bit scared with these COVID rules and custom border crossing and everything. But when we opened registration, it was wild. Everybody was, in 1 hour, it was already over. And I could not answer all the mails for 2 days, I think. So it was much more riders wanted to come that we could accept. But yeah, it was okay. And I think 250 is still a great number. I think most of the races would really love to have this amount of riders on their race.
Yeah, for sure. Like when I saw that there will be a race in Lika, like not even for a minute, I didn't have so much riding this year, but I said, okay, maybe this is the last year, the last race this year, or I don't know for how much time I need to go. It doesn't matter. Like,
yeah. I'm sure how it would be in Croatia. The situation is not really the best with COVID. Yeah. And the last week I make a call to government that make decision. And I said, please, I need to know, this is the moment. This Monday, I need to know, will you closing the border or make some horrible measures, or we can continue to work? Because today is the day when people start to coming, it's over. You know, but they said, no, it will stay like this. And it's got even better with the border crossing than it was when we opened the registration. It was, you need a PCR test, and now at the end, it was like, just some fast antigen tests for crossing the border, which was make my life much easier, I must say.
And also for us riders was not so expensive.
Yeah. That was also crossing my mind. And we was calculating how much we really need riders, what will be the lowest price that we can do. So many things that are going through our mind, but we managed to do it, and I'm really proud that we do it in these hard conditions. And even with this snow, so many nights we didn't sleep. And I have a really small crew with my friends who did it with me. And that's the hardest part, you know. Also for the Sunday, you need like, I don't know, perfect will be 100 people that help you, but it's not possible, you know. Yeah. But we manage to do it every year somehow, and then people come and help us, and that's a good thing that they see that this is positive for Croatian, for extreme enduro in our region. So that's probably the reason why they help us.
I really like this thing with the GPS, is that we had the virtual checkpoints. This was really good. Like I remember in 2019, you needed to wait. Like, and if you lost the card, you had problems and everything. Like with this stuff, this is really the future, I think.
I'm sure. We're testing it for 2 weeks while we're riding and everything. For me, the best thing of this is that I know in every moment where is the rider. I would say some funny things. In one moment, there is some ridings missing. And I see 5 riders between checkpoint 3 and checkpoint 4. So I immediately send the guys to go there to check what is happening there. And also one rider go in the village and go for sleep a little bit and forget to give us a GPS logger. So we know the address, we know the number of him, and I called him and I said, please, can you give us back the GPS logger? And say, oh, sorry. So that's the reason, because before when you have only cards, people, I don't know, broke the bike on checkpoint 2 and then go to the van and go home, and we think that he's somewhere in the mountain and you need to search for him, and it was really, really hard. And I would say this is the future, and we saw some things that we need to do on them and how we will proceed. I talk a lot after the event with these guys, because they until now do only bicycle racing and mountain running races, so it is not the same, because adrenaline on extreme enduro race the start is something completely different,
something
you
else,
know.
Yeah,
and it's much harder to everything, and you need to check everybody with a GPS track and everything. But it's really good for me. I think this is for sure the future. This is something that I personally will use in all kind of off-road events, even in cross country and stuff like that, because you don't need so many tapes. And in the future, we will go more with this GPS and less with the marking, for sure. Because this marking is a horrible
job.
It's
also exhausting, It will make life easier for organizers, for racers, for everybody. I think this is the great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. And they also, they have some cameras in Finnish, so you can do photo finishes, everything. This is the future for sure. And we just need to a little bit more work together to make it to be perfect, and everything will be okay.
Okay.
Okay, we have one more question for you. Do you plan on doing any changes on the race in the future?
Yeah, the biggest change will be about marking and stuff like that. We will go with the marking like it was in enduro before, without the tapes, because first of all, it's enormous amount of plastic that you later put in the trash, you know. We use it for 1-2 years, and after that, it's impossible. The plastic is melting, and we don't want that this stay in the mountain behind us. We will go with the GPS riding, and all riders will need to have a GPS for ride, like in this kind of the race. We tested a lot also that, and we even this year was prepared, but I think only 3 riders give us a GPS, something like that. So we give everybody opportunity this year. So we have some bad experience in 2019. Somebody knocked the tables on 3 places. There is a crossroad for gold, silver and bronze class. So usually it's not a problem for the gold and bronze class, because gold class, no. If you see blue marking, you don't go there. And bronze class, if they see blue marking, they will for sure go there, because they know that is some hard checkpoints. But for silver is a tricky, because they travel a little bit, some really hard checkpoints don't go, and other they go. So it's very important that you have this kind of marking. And we will leave these tables and everything, but we will for sure want that everybody use a GPS. So it's hard to fight with. I would say that somebody do this maybe on purpose, because it's a 3 table, not a 1, you know. And I see also that these kind of things are happening on other races also sometimes. I think in Romania, or I think once we see it on Erzberg Rodeo, maybe in the last edition, yeah. I don't know when Jervis was go on final. Found, but I think GPS and stuff like that is the best, and it will make all people to ride honestly. Yeah, and this is the future for sure.
Yeah. And also, it's easier to make the, like, you need to do so much work with the marking that you cannot make longer.
We do exactly 2 months. We need 2 months to mark the track the way we do it. You know, I really want that it to be perfectly. And we even have some people from Croatia that are not participant in race. We bring them and they ride first. And if I see that he stop on some place looking or something, so I know, okay, this we could do better. And that's the way we are doing. But it's always hard. And I think this GPS and this live trackers for sure will be future in most of the events. Only problem is that this is really, really expensive. But for me, I see only the good things from this. If you don't care about the price, I think only the good things in this, especially because you see all the riders where they are. You can tell the guys from checkpoint 2, okay, now all riders cross your checkpoint, you can come back and help us on some other area. Maybe go to help riders to reach some uphill or something like that before everybody needs to be to the last moment that the last guy have. So if the last guy starts in 11 o'clock plus 6 hours, so they need to be in the mountain like 8 hours, you know. So this is, for me, I think really great, really great.
Okay, I have one more question. Do you maybe have in mind when you will make next an Extreme Enduro Lika? I heard something about this year again on September, no, but
I don't think it will happen in September.
Okay.
But we have some other projects on the near mountain. It's not the same place, but it's like 15 kilometers. We do on this project for 2 years now. It was like secret project from us, you know, only a few of us working, riding there. and it will be similar, but maybe a less hard race and completely different terrain, and there's no sand area and stuff like that. Maybe we will have some pilot project, but we need to rest now. Oh my guys, I think
we can understand that.
really hard.
Tomo, thank you for everything, for explaining us about this year's race, for explaining a little bit about your future and everything. So,
and once again, congrats.
Yeah, for congrats this year's on race. A great race. Yeah.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for participating again. And I see you have a great fun on Prologue.
Yeah.
I hope you will have a great fun on Prologue this year on Erzberg Rodeo again, and we will be there and have some practice this year.
I don't think I will participate.
I wish you all the best with your program that you are doing, and it's really great that you call all these riders from Slovenia or from all these Balkans. I think it's a good thing that you're doing, and congratulations also to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tomo, and we will keep in touch.
Okay, bye.
See you.
Bye. See you. Bye.
And now it's time for the winner of this year's Extreme Enduro Lika, Rudolf Dieter. Sadly, we couldn't make a Zoom meeting due to some technical issues.
Hi, Lukas. Thank you for your interview and your...
And you can...
You will be able to hear it in a minute.
Yeah. Hi, Lukas. Thank you for your interview and your interest. With a few words, I will describe you my weekend at the Lika Enduro Race. It was my second time in Lika. The first time was 2015. I have also started in the gold class then and won the third place. This year, it was a short-term decision to start the race. I decided only a few days before the race to join it. I started Friday afternoon with a friend from Austria, and we arrived at 10 o'clock in Lika. On Saturday morning, I went to the race office to get my race number, and after that, I prepared my bike for the prologue. At 10 a.m., the prologue starts with the first lap. The second lap was in the afternoon. After the long race break because of COVID-19, it was my first race again, and because of this, I hadn't any pressure or expectations. The first run of the prologue wasn't bad, but at the end of the lap I tried to make a front flip, but it didn't work, so I lost some time, but I finished on position 5. The second lap of the prologue was much more faster. I had a really good feeling on the bike, and so I was on position 4 at the end of the prologue. On Sunday morning, I went to the race office again and get the GPS tracker, and the next stop was the start area. After the start, I pushed myself extremely, and my focus was to catch Mulets and you. I think after 10 minutes of racing, I finally got the chance to pass you and Mulets. Now the way was free, and I found my own speed, and I also found a good rhythm. The next checkpoints were really good to ride, and I had no problems with the track. At the middle of the race, I come to the refueling point, and I was looking for my canister, but I couldn't find it. So I put all on one card and said to myself that I have to go without any fuel. Fortunately, it had worked. All in all, it was a pretty good race for me. Only the snow made it a little bit uncomfortable. I was super happy with the first place, and that was a great start for the upcoming season. I must say big thanks to my sponsors, partners, and above all the team X-Grip for the great support during the whole race. Now I focus on the next races. At first, for sure, the Red Bull Erzberg Rodeo and also the Red Bull Romaniacs. Maybe I will also start at the Sea to Sky, and maybe also at the Getzen Rodeo at the end of the season. So Yeah, and I'm looking forward and I'm excited what to come next. So thank you for your time and I hope we see us again. Bye bye.
We also spoke with the winner of the prologue, David Ciprian. He was actually the only one who passed on the prologue.
Yeah, he was the fastest that day.
He passed with an amount of 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
He was really fast, but I was not so slow either because I had some great guys behind me. And he also finished second on Sunday's race, so let's hear his story.
So, it's David Ciprian, is that right? How do you pronounce that?
Yeah, pretty much like you said it.
Okay. So, hello, David. How are you?
Hi, Luca. I'm very good. I just came back from Croatia. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Everything is unpacked. I just need to clean everything, but I need some more time. Maybe tomorrow is the time.
Yeah, it's usually the tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
Luca told me this was your first race after the injury, torn ACL. Was it hard coming back?
I was preparing in Spain for quite some time, but it usually is kind of hard coming from any injury, pretty much. And it was a ACL, and it took like, I think it's been 6 months now since the operation, six, maybe seven already. And yeah, it is always kind of hard, you know, getting into it. You never know how good you actually are, how well you prepared. You know, you can train as much as you want, but the race is always something different. So coming in this race, I wasn't expecting anything, literally.
Yeah, this is maybe the best way, that you are not expecting too much from yourself. So, and then on Saturday's prologue, you were so fast, like both of prologues, you were like from
I know, right?
The other. yeah. Like the first one already, I was like, where did he come from? And then the next one also, you were 15 seconds in front of me and everybody else. So
he came from Spain.
How could I?
yeah. So what is the... Where is the magic that you are so fast?
I mean, it's a lot of years. No, actually, I was just sitting, you know, I was lying in a bed most of the winter and most of my life. And I just like wake up that morning and I was like, yeah, today is the day. Let's get it.
let's show the guys what fast means.
Nah, not really. I was... Because, you know, I'm not coming up from trials as most of the extreme riders. I actually did like cross countries and enduro classic races, never motocross. I never ridden a motocross, but like competitively or something. But I was riding a lot of classic enduros and these type of things. So like the prologue type of stuff really, really suits me. And yeah, that's about it. So it was, and especially like that type of terrain as the prologue was made, the track, the like pretty much everything was just, it suited me perfectly. Like, yeah, it was just really nice, really nice.
Yeah. And it was also not your first. So you knew a little bit from before, like, because it's almost the same. On 2019, you won this race, huh?
Yeah. And the prologue was same. It was literally the same one.
Yeah. And you were also
but
first.
You were there as well, right?
Yeah.
I think it was one of your first races, right?
I was a little bit slower. Yeah. This was a second race, second Lika for me, but 2018 was the first one for me in Hobie class. So, but it was hard.
And how did you feel on Sunday being the one who starts the race?
I mean, yeah, that's a tough question. Always like, I always want to do really good on the prologue. I always want to win. And this time around, I don't think it was the great strategy. But as I said before, I didn't really care about like, I didn't really care what I'm going to do or how well I'm going to do. I just wanted to see how I'm prepared for the next races or where to work or what to work on. And when I won the prologue, I was like, okay, I'm going to take it. I'm going to go first. And to be honest, I was really hoping, or like, I was kind of calm before Sunday that we're going to start like 15 seconds behind each other, which would mean that kind of quickly we would all come together and kind of ride together, you know, more or less. Mm-hmm. But due to some circumstances, I was the only one coming like 20 minutes ahead of every single person there was. So, yeah,
I couldn't really wait. There was some miscommunication, and I was the second one to start the race, and I started at 19 minutes behind you because something came in, and but yeah, it was to start the first was not like the best choice. But understand kinda... you wanted to give it all on Saturday as well as
It was kind of a bad idea, but I was it happens. And I mean, if we started as we should have started, I'm not saying things would be different. It would just like, I would say it would feel better to ride in a group, not alone. Because like when you're riding alone, you don't really know what the tempo is, etc., the snow and everything, you know, and all these other things. But in the end, I should just have been faster.
Yeah, but your tempo was not so best, so you ended up second. And are you happy with the result?
Yeah, for sure, I'm happy. I think I did a decent job, you know. Obviously, first would be better, but I have to think about the circumstances I'm in, and that the doctors told me that just right about now I would start riding probably. So like. The progress was made, and I think I'm on a decent level right now. I just need obviously to work on some things, but I mean, overall, I'm really happy with the performance. Like the speed is there, and now I have to get used to the racing tempo, you know, to really get it flowing, because I wasn't racing for 9-10 months, and you know, it shows.
And what about your plans for the future? Do you have any special ones?
Long term or short term?
For short this term, season, maybe. Short term, yes.
Okay, short term, I'm going to go and cook a nice dinner, you know? That's a short term.
Not that short.
Too short.
But in like a seasonal, I'm going to do the new series from the FIM, the World Hard Enduro Championship, which starts in May in Portugal, in Porto, with Extreme XL Lagares. And then I'm going to do the rest of the season, depends on what is on and what is not due to the COVID situation, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen in these times. And also, I'm planning to do some small races, for example, in Romania. I'm going there actually this weekend. And yeah, just training, riding, racing,
just
and then repeat
your life on the bike.
Exactly.
Enjoying as much as you can.
Yep.
Okay, so thank you for this, and hopefully we'll still see us soon, and maybe
I hope as well
together. Yeah.
<That's really fun. laughs> Yeah, it's gonna be fun for sure.
Okay, thank you for everything, right. And we'll keep in touch. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye. See you guys.
See you.
And now it's time for the German star Kevin Galas, who maybe had more issues on his way home than on the race, and we will hear why in the upcoming video.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great.
Why was that so
thanks
funny?
Thanks for asking.
Why was that so funny?
Yeah, we just spoke about it before, about this how are you doing question, which is like not even like most of the people don't really mean to ask that question. Like they just ask it and it's like a longer
but
hello.
It's nicer. It's nicer to ask someone how he is before you start a conversation, and it can tell you a lot about your, I don't know.
True, but I'm more a fan of being like, I'm always acting how I feel like, so I'm never like asking somebody questions that I don't really care. You know what I mean?
So yeah, we care about you, and
that's actually great to hear. Yeah, no, I feel really good. I just came back from riding 2 hours of sprints, so I'm pretty tired.
Nice. On motocross track or enduro?
Yeah, motocross and then classic enduro, both.
Nice.
So Kevin, can you tell me how is it possible that the junior world champion and big time influencer Kevin Galas came to extreme enduro racing Lika?
Yes, I can answer you pretty precise, actually. I, for those who might not know, I'm racing for the TTR Squadra Corsa team this year, which is like a really famous team, I would say, in the hard enduro world. It's probably the best private team, for sure on the same level like a factory team, from everything around. So it's a pretty big step for me. It was pretty last minute. We only signed in March, so we didn't have a lot of preparation, and I'm still pretty new on the bike. I have now like maybe 10 hours on the full race bike, or like full race spec bike, I would say. So I was at Marco Poland's place, Endurides, in Croatia to ride. And my friend Mike Skinner actually told me that he was going to go to race the Enduro Lika. I've always heard about the race, but I've never been there. And it wasn't really the plan to go. But then I was like, might be a good idea, because in 3 weeks from now, we have the first world championship race in Portugal, the XL Lagares. So I thought it would be a great test of me, bike, and like the full race situation, especially because I heard that David Ciprian is coming and all like a lot of other good and fast riders. So it's like a proper test, you know, with like proper world level riders. And yeah, so it was pretty last minute to actually go. I got my tires and clothing delivered on Friday at 2 o'clock. So I left after that, and it was like 11 or 12 hours of driving. So I arrived at 3:30 in the night.
Yeah, it's different to see you on a gas or on a red bike. Like, we are used to Kevin Galas on a white bike with bell helmet and everything, and now he's on a red bike with all.
Yeah, actually, it's not even
different.
Actually, it's not even that red, that bike. I'm pretty bummed, because like I like red as a color. And for example, if you look at Barsha's bike, it looks, for me, Barsha's bike is probably the sickest bike from the looks, like on the planet. Like, it looks better than every other bike. But then when I was at the team's place and they put the plastics on, they made it black. So it's like, I'm on a black bike. But yeah, it's different. It's different.
Nice.
So how did you like Saturday's prologue?
I think it was a pretty good prologue. We were talking, like I was talking with the other riders as well, and like we found it funny that it seemed like in every hard enduro race the prologue is so different from the main race. So the riders that would, like, now the hard enduro guys got faster, so you see like David won the prologue and he was second in the main race, but it's still like the prologue, if you take an enduro GP guy, you know, he would probably be able to win the prologue pretty easily, because it's like his type of, or it was like a special test. It was like an extreme test from an enduro GP race. And Sunday's race is just a classic hard enduro race. So that's pretty funny, actually, that they always have different prologues. But yeah, I liked it. I just had no time to walk it. So I had no idea where I was going. And I actually, now I saw some other GoPro footage, and I took such shitty lines because I didn't even know they were there. Like, I saw Azzalini's GoPro and he goes totally different lines than me. I go around like rocks and he just goes straight above. And
So it was also your first Lika, and when I was there for a third time, I think, and the prologue is about the same like last few years. So we know the track, like maybe a few guys from top 10. Maybe, I think just you and Skinner was.
Yeah, me and Skinner were the only guys the first time.
Yeah,
Skinner,
the first time.
Skinner actually walked it, so I was like completely blind.
Yeah, so you did quite good.
Yeah. And what about the Sunday? Was maybe something special happening on the track? Was there anyone blocking you? Maybe Luca?
Look at his finger. Look at his finger. Actually, I have it on camera. Yeah. I thought I was in a pretty good spot coming off Saturday because I thought, yeah, it's cool. Like I have people in front of me to pass because for sure I knew that with my usual riding, I should be able to pass a few guys in Sunday's race. So I thought it's a good spot, but then like they made some mistake in the organization and David left like half an hour before all of us. Mm-hmm. So that was a bit weird. And we were all pretty confused. And then it was only 15 seconds gap between all the riders. So, and yeah, I just felt like I was just like 3-4 spots too far back. And I caught Azzalini like after what felt really short time. I don't know exact minute, but pretty quick. And then the track, the first 10-15 minutes, I would say, it was pretty one line. So it was going through the snow and like through rivers. And it was one line, and when I tried to pass, but then I went into mud puddles and like got a stick stuck in my front wheel. And like, as soon as you leave that line, you were in big trouble. So it was just following, which I was a bit annoyed. And then we came to that first rocky thing where Luca caused a huge traffic jam. He just like flipped his bike. And Micha and Azzalini were stuck behind him. And I actually took a pretty good line on the left and passed them. And then just Luca was blocking the way. He got his bike up and he flipped it the second time exactly the same as the first time. So he was still blocking the way. Yeah. And but then the track was fine, I would say. It was not super hard. It was more like a real sprint. It was really hard to keep the speed high, especially with all the snow and all the sticks laying around. Like I had no idea where I was going, and it was, I think the average speed was quite high for a hard enduro race. Like we didn't have to push once. I just fucked up in the snow, but there was no section where you were actually pushing the bike. It was just riding all the time. So yeah, I was quite happy with the track and everything.
Yeah, the snow did some problems that they needed to cut some parts from the track.
Tomo said it was like 1/3 of the hard stuff was out. But still, like I don't you know, for me it's like there's no easy race. Like even if you make the track super easy, if you want to win, you just have to go so fast. So it will always be like challenging for us in a race.
And you all guys were together, like top 10 guys were in a few minutes.
It was really, really close. Like I think I was under 3 minutes off the podium and like under 7 or 8 minutes off the win. So and I was sixth, so it was pretty close.
And I have one more question. How was your way home?
It started off really good where we got invited by some really nice Slovenian guy to come to his pizzeria and have a really good pizza. Mike Skinner. So he's actually sitting right there. Like, So we were invited. Luca invited us kindly to his pizzeria to have some dinner. And my plan was, and he also invited us to stay, which would have probably been the better idea. I chose to continue, so I would have the full Monday at home to do stuff. And I got so tired at 11, so I slept in my van again, which I have like this air mattress inside. And I pulled over just after passing the border to Germany, and then I woke up in the morning and I forgot to turn on the heating for the night, which was the first mistake. So I woke up in the morning at like 7 o'clock, totally freezing. And you know, when you like wake up and you like really struggle to make good decisions and you like, you just do random stuff. And I was like, okay, it's cold. I will start the car to let it warm up because I was like on the highways basically. So I wouldn't hit the car really cold and turn on the heating on maximum. So I would like, it would get warm. And then I was like, oh, I really need to pee. So I took on my shoes and I have this van with like the tailgate where you open it. And I climbed out there and the whole parking spot was full of people. So because my van was really messy and like full of dirty stuff from the race, I closed the tailgate really quick and I completely forgot that I locked the car before. So I just heard this clicking noise of tailgate locking. And I'm like, it took me like 1 second to realize what happened. So I pull on the tailgate like an idiot and it was closed. I just had hope it was open. I walk around to the front and pull on the side door. It was closed, front door closed, other side front door closed. And I'm like, fuck, I'm such an idiot. Like, and then I stood there like no hat, nothing. Like my hair was completely messy. Like I just woke up a minute before, like a really like, luckily I had my pants on. You imagine I would have only boxers on. So luckily I had pants on and like, but just a really thin like hoodie. And I stand there and it's like 5 degrees raining and the car's running, heating inside is on maximum. And I just stand there and everything's locked and everybody's looking at me like I'm the biggest idiot in the world. So I had no idea what to do. I had my phone, wallet, mask, everything was in the car. And it was locked. So I walk up to the fuel station and because that was like literally the only thing I could do. And because I thought about like throwing in a window because my friend had like a similar situation like a year ago. And he had this normal passenger car of his mom and he just knocked in the rear window, which was like pretty cheap to replace. But I had only front, like windscreen, you can't knock that in with a rock. It's impossible. Because you have this plastic thing inside. So front two windows would be shit because then I need to drive home with an open window for like 4 hours, which would be ridiculous. And the side door and the back window, they are so huge and they are tinted from factory. So it would be like super expensive if I would have done that. So that was not really an option. So I walk up in that fuel station and I'm like, I go in with no mask because I have no mask. And in Germany, we need to wear the FFP2 mask, like the proper mask. So you can't put your shirt or something. And the woman is like, no, you need to take a mask. And I'm like, hey, listen, I can explain that. So I tell her, I just woke up, I slept in my van and I locked myself out and it was still running. And I kind of need help. Like she needs to call someone. Like she had a pretty good idea to call ADAC, which is like our German service, kind of like you become a member. It's like an automobile club. You become a member and when your car breaks down they will tow it for free, or like you just pay that membership for the year. And so yeah, they were actually really nice. They gave me a mask and let me stay inside because it was so cold outside. But it took like 2 hours, so I was sitting there sipping my coffee with my mask, waiting for the ADAC to come. And yeah, it was pretty embarrassing, to be honest. Yeah, would have been better to stay at your place, Luca.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So, Kevin, thank you so much for taking time for chatting with us.
Yeah, no problem.
Hopefully we will see each other soon. And
Yeah, we should do a podcast together. Like next time you are driving by Slovenia or through Slovenia, you need to stop.
And I'll stop by and
full podcast and
full episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm keen to see the studio.
Yeah, it's great. You need to come.
Cool.
So yeah, thank you for everything and see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you guys.
You.
Have a great day.
Bye.
The last interview we did was with Mike Skinner, who came to Lika all the way from France, where he lives now, but on the race he represented New Zealand, his home country New Zealand. And all the effort paid off because he was 7th on the race.
Hello Mike, how are you?
Good mate, how are you?
Yeah, great. So did you unpack everything from the race? And
I didn't actually even unpack. I did some washing and hung out with my girlfriend for 12 hours. And then I got back in the van, and now I'm in Italy. So
what a life.
But
I have time now, so I'm making the most of it.
But Luca told me that you are from New Zealand, but you live in France.
Yeah, that's
Is
right.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yep.
And where did you find the extreme race, extreme enduro race in Lika, in Croatia?
How did I find it?
Yeah.
I think
how did you hear about it from a friend or other riders?
Well, I think I raced Erzberg in 2015, and I was parked next to Tomo, who runs the race. And then, so I think we were friends, and I didn't know who he was. And then I think we were friends on Facebook. And then I kept seeing all the stuff about Enduro Lika for years and years, and I kept meaning to go. So this year I finally went, and it was really good.
Oh, great, great. So this was your first time in Lika, and what was your first thoughts when you came to the venue or the racetrack, or how would you say?
I thought it was beautiful. I turned up at like 6:30 at night, like just as it was going, just about to go dark. And it's a completely middle of nowhere. It's like you're driving to the end of the world. And then you go through those tiny villages, and then the pit area is amazing. And the sun was, there's a really nice sunset. And I was like, this is pretty cool. And then I made some dinner and sat there. And then the sun went down and it got freezing cold, so I had to go to bed.
and your heating in your van was not working at all, or you don't have one?
It wasn't optimal. No, I don't have any heating. It's just a normal van. But luckily, I had three sleeping bags and a lot of warm clothes. So I just wore everything. And in the morning, I had this big bottle of water. It's like a 20-liter bottle of water. And like the first 10 centimeters of it was just solid ice. It was inside the van. So, it was pretty cold.
What a night.
And what about the Saturday's prologue? How did you like it? And how did it go for you?
It was cool. I walked it like the day before, luckily, because I was there early. So I went and walked it. So it was actually probably a bit of an advantage because I kind of had an idea where it was going. It was fun. It was a little bit of everything. It was a nice prologue. It was cool. Like, it was fast, but it wasn't like, it didn't feel like you were out of control going super fast. And I just rode around and didn't try not to make too many mistakes. And I think I was eighth, I think, in the prologue. So, And so it was cool. Yeah. I wish some other races would do a prologue that's a bit more like that.
I think eighth place for the first time in Lika, because like every year is for the last few years the prologue is the same, so for us we were there many times before. It was easier because we knew the track a little bit, and you can remember from, I don't know, 2 years ago how it was. So eighth place is pretty fast.
So that's why you won, huh?
I didn't win, but that's why I made second place. But I was first in Slovenia. That's what counts. And Sunday's race, how was it for you?
I had a pretty bad start. I just rode really tight and crappy for like the first half an hour, 20 minutes. And it was all that real muddy, slippery stuff. And I just took me a while to get going, and I was getting passed a lot, and I'd pass someone back and then I'd make a mistake and then two guys would pass me, and I felt like I was just really frustrating. And then I kind of like, I started to just loosen up a bit and start riding properly. And then I was slowly passing people. It was nothing super hard. I think because of the snow, they had to take a lot of stuff out. So the track, I didn't really have to do much pushing, but like it was a nice mix. It was, had some nice single track, of course, all that snowy stuff as well. It was kind of good. The middle of the race, I was right behind. I'd like catch up to Tomasic. I'd like catch up to once or twice. I think I passed him, and then I'd make a mistake and he'd pass me back. And so I'd kind of follow him, or we'd be like within like 100 meters for so long, for like maybe an hour. It felt like we were just riding sort of just out of, you know, really close to each other. And then towards the end of the race, we caught up to Miha, who was like really fast on the fast stuff, but then he was struggling on the difficult stuff. So, and then eventually I'm actually managed to pass Miha on basically the last technical part of the whole race. And I passed him there, and then I knew I had to go as fast as I could to stay in front of him to get to the finish. So I was just riding like as best I could. And I got there just in front of him. So,
yeah.
But I really enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah, and also the result is good, yeah. So seventh place at the end, but you were like together with few guys there with the time.
Yeah, I think fourth place until eighth or ninth place was like only 2.5 minutes between. So Tomasic ended up fourth, and I felt like I was riding with him the whole time, but he just got in front, and then the same thing. Like I think I beat Leon Henschel by 20 seconds or something, and I was behind Kevin by, I don't know, 30 or 40 seconds. So yeah, it's pretty crazy to have like an extreme race that's close, because normally, normally you have bigger gaps.
Yeah.
We have one more question, Mike. If you could change anything about this race, what would it be, knowing that you have some experience with organizing the races?
That's a tough question. I don't know. It's a shame, because I would have liked to have seen like the full track that Tomo had planned, but obviously he had no choice with so much snow. He couldn't use everything. So I think someone told me he took like 35% or like a third of the hills out. So it was missing a lot. It would have been nice to see the whole thing as he'd originally planned. But this is like, it's the hardest thing when you've planned a race, because you've put your love and your soul into making it. And then when the weather changes, you have to decide what's coming and what's going. And it's so hard to take it out. So I feel sorry for him, because it's, it can be pretty heartbreaking having to like remove all these hills that you've been, all the track that you've been working on for so long. I guess that would probably be the main thing that would have been cool to see, because it's a beautiful area.
Yeah, that was a little bit bad. Yeah, but for me, because I didn't ride so much this year, that was good. But yeah, it should be a little bit longer and harder. But so thank you, Mike. We wish you all the best in the future, and hope we see you and talk to you in the future as well.
No problem. And nice to meet you, and see you again soon, hopefully.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Yes.
Cheers.
So this was our first and hopefully not last English version of our podcast.
Once again, thanks to our guests, and also we would be really grateful and happy if you could like this video, subscribe and share it.
And yeah, hopefully you like it, and see you soon. Bye bye. Thank you.